You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, wherever you're going. Thank you for taking us with you on your phone, in your car, whatever it is. We're here to talk about a 110-104 win over the Washington Wizards in overtime. Lots to get to. Crazy calls, clutch play. The debut of the Moose, Greg Monroe.
Moose! I was doing that all night.
That's Sam Jam Packard. If you don't know, follow him on Twitter at Jam Packard. I'm John Corrales at Reds Army underscore John on Twitter. We're the Rain and Jays. And a reminder before we get started to subscribe to the show if you're not a subscriber. And give us a 5-star rating. Give us a good review. You know, we're here for you Monday through Friday. No one else is. So you gotta love the fact that we're here for you every goddamn day of the week to take you to or from work. All right, let's get to it, Sam. A wild game. I was bracing myself for a very frustrating loss, the way the Celtics pissed away a late lead. But thankfully, Markieff Morris just decided that he was going to foul Kyrie Irving on a three-pointer.
Yeah, that was helpful because otherwise the Celtics had a terrible last 5 minutes of regulation where they just, I think they only scored 7 points up until then. They were up 88-78 and then just allowed a 20-7 run. It was not good, but luckily that foul happened. For some reason, I didn't see the foul. Maybe I have a bad television.
I saw it.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention enough for replays, but I tweeted out like, oh, that call was suspect, and then I just got flooded with like, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah, he got him on the left arm, and I saw the ball kind of jostle a little bit. It's one of those things where the contact wasn't horrible. It wasn't like he killed him on the play, but it's one that affected the shot. So they're definitely going to call that. Just like the second time he fouled him, he touched him very lightly on the elbow, but that's the type of play that affects a shot. And you know those things that the refs do where they wait to see if a ball goes in? Like, that's the type of thing that they're looking for. So when you tap a guy in the elbow and you affect the power behind his shot, they're going to call that every time, even if you do it lightly. That little brush on Kyrie's left arm wasn't like... he didn't crush him. He didn't kill him. It wasn't very much, but it was enough to jostle the ball loose a little bit, and that's going to be an automatic call.
And the Celtics are incredibly lucky, especially Kyrie Irving's especially lucky, because that was a dog shit look. Like, that was a fadeaway three with not a lot of time left on the clock. It was just really got bailed out for what was a bad 2 minutes, and then they played well in overtime. I mean, Keith came up and fouled again, and then the huge play was Juice hitting that step back three in the corner with the shot clock about to expire. Man, like, if he just keeps getting better as a shot maker, and his footwork on that play was amazing. And I don't know why I'm continually surprised by it. I mean, I guess we should be used to it at this point, but that was just like, damn, Juice, where did that come from?
It was very He didn't look uncomfortable at all in that situation. Shot clock was winding down. He really was kind of left alone on an island, and he was going to have to take that shot. Everybody knew it. His defender knew it. Was Kelly Oubre. Everybody knew that shot was going up, and he set him up like he was going to go to the rim, and then he just hit that step back in the corner, got his foot just perfectly behind the line, just the sliver of daylight there, and drilled it. I mean, just drilled it, no doubt about it. Just another one of those shots that I've never seen out of Jaylen Brown. Is probably the second time in three games that I've said that on a podcast. Jaylen comes up with a shot that I've never seen before. And yeah, he is growing. His offense is growing at an exponential rate, it seems. He's whipping out things that are new, and he just looks more comfortable doing it. So that's exciting. That's really exciting.
And he, not just his shot. I mean, that shot was the kind of the cherry on top of the ice cream. What's the metaphor there?
On the sundae.
Cherry on a sundae. Yeah, that sounds way better. but I thought his just his general offensive game, especially in the first half, he was super aggressive and came out really attacking, especially in transition. He had that one super nice behind the back dribble into a dunk. But I just thought he came out and played a very good game and carried the team earlier on in the game. And so it was nice to see him put it all together. For the most part, I thought the Celtics were the better team, save for those last 5 minutes. They really came out and started the third quarter well and got out to a bigger lead. It felt like despite them being in control, they never were able to put up a big lead. And then they finally got the game to 10 before. It felt like Kyrie Irving came back into the game and they just kind of said, yeah, well, it's Kyrie in the late. That's what he does. And he wasn't full. I don't think he's full Kyrie yet coming back from that quad injury. And it felt like the Celtics just, once that didn't work, didn't know how to like execute down the clutch. And it's not the greatest thing. You'd rather see them hold on to 10-point leads with 4 minutes to go. But I thought in general before that they were the better team.
Yeah, they definitely played better in the second half. And they built up that lead. They played really great defense in the third quarter. They, you know, to outscore the Wizards by 7 and hold them to 19 points in the third quarter, it's really big. And then in the fourth to take that 10-point lead, you felt good. It felt like, all right, we're going to close them out this time. But they gave up another run down the stretch. And yeah, whether it is they relaxed or other guys, you know, got to give Washington credit for making those shots to actually end up taking the lead. But, you know, in the overtime, they did enough. They did just enough to get it to overtime and close it out. So a couple of bad things from tonight's game. It's just the frustrating thing that's been happening a lot lately, especially, is bad turnovers, like really sloppy turnovers. And the Celtics, I feel like
17, anything over 10 is generally unacceptable.
Yeah, that's been a problem lately. And not only 17 turnovers, but 25 points off of those turnovers, which is a big deal. Now, luckily for the Celtics, the Wizards turned the ball over 22 times, and the Celtics scored 24 points off of those turnovers. But still, you can't count on another team to give you that many gifts, and you can't count on the best player on the other team that's on the floor, Bradley Beal, shooting 26%. Man, I can't imagine being a Wizards fan and watching that Bradley Beal performance. He's obviously didn't shoot well, and he was terrible down the stretch. Terrible down the stretch. So the Celtics did enough to win. The Wizards were definitely complicit in the Celtics win here. They did plenty to lose the game. But, hey, look, we'll take it. After that loss to Toronto, we'll take it.
Yeah, no, the whole time I was sitting there and I just thought the Celtics were going to win. And then, like, the last couple minutes, I was like, happened. And I was just going, fuck, man, they shouldn't have lost this game. And then they turned it around. So it feels much better for them to play shitty and win instead of play shitty and lose. I'll take wins every time, if you ask me.
That's high-quality analysis there.
That's what I'm here for. But what'd you think about the debut of Moose, Greg Monroe?
You were just reading my mind because I just picked up my notes to sit there and say, all right, let's look at Monroe. So we'll get into Greg Monroe, or as he's known on the scoreboard, Greg.
Greg. Can I just pause right here and give just like the biggest shout out to Weird Celtics Twitter? They've really hopped on the Moose bandwagon,
yep.
The Greg bandwagon. It was just like a perfect storm of memes Yano's joined in, called him Greg Moose, or Moose from Greg.
I missed that. Hold on. Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm going to look up Yano's.
It's just like, welcome to Mooseport, that terrible Ray Romano, Gene Hackman movie. It's just people came correct today. Lucky's Pipe and at Jack Michael. I was very appreciative of Weird Celtics Twitter tonight. This is a question I had, and maybe we're dipping into the rain and junk a little too early, but I was excited.
It's a Friday show. I feel like we're all maybe a little bit loopy, so I'm happy to dip into the rain and junk. Yes. Is Giannis NBA? Greg Moose will be good guy for us.
He's great. But Weird Celtics Twitter just stepped up its game tonight, and I was curious if any other team has like a weird leftist Marxist meme Twitter that like is this commonplace or the Celtics special?
The weird Twitter.
Well, like it's extra weird. We grow our weirdos fresh.
I feel like it's really started to trend weirder this season. Like
yeah, definitely.
We've got some real characters. Like Celtics Twitter has always been funny, but this year there's been a group of very specific guys that have just taken it to a new place. And like, okay, so that I don't live in the weird Twitter. Like I kind of dip my toe every once in a while, but everybody's swimming in the ocean. And maybe sometimes I'll walk in a little bit, but I cannot compete with weird Twitter. And it's Herbert of Riffs, Erotic City, like that whole Erotic City thing. The concept that the Celtics are this erotic, cool franchise, like that is hilarious to me. And it's one of those things that's so funny that I wish I could participate. I can't. I just don't have.
It's hard to keep up, man. Their commitment to posting and content is
nuts.
It's unbelievable.
It's nuts. And Sam Sheehan gets in on that. And there's a whole group of those guys. You're in on that. You're much more in on that than I am. And I think it's a youth thing. Like I can't figure it out.
Oh, it's us weird millennials, definitely. Yeah, and I'm not even in as much as like you would want to be, because those guys are. They're fully in. It's a lifestyle for them, and I like being just aware of it because they make the game more fun.
I love it. I love it. I'm gonna be like, if the best I can hope for is to be like the weird old teacher in Animal House that gives everybody weed and like I kind of sorta am part of it, but like I'm not. But you know, I'm kind of like he's cool. He's fine. He's fine. Let the old guy in. Like that's the best I could ever hope for. But those guys are. Amazing, amazing. So on a night like tonight, when you know, taking Moose and just bring him into Erotic City is just, I love it. And call and for the fact that the guy, if you haven't seen the game or if you're not on Twitter, the genesis of this entire conversation is on the scoreboard at, I guess it's the Capital One Arena now. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Verizon Center. I don't remember when it changed. Must be this season. But the arena still sucks, by the way. But
oh, it's dog shit.
It's one of the worst places. In Washington, D.C. is kind of a cool city, but that's a shitty arena, as an aside. But the scoreboard up, the Jumbotron thing, had everybody's name, last names, and then for Monroe, it just said Greg. And that just became a thing. All of a sudden, he just became Greg. And his nickname is his first name, but it's...
his nickname is his name.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, so he's just Greg now. Or as Yano says, Greg Moose. So...
I like how we did all this talking and we just didn't even mention how he played tonight.
No, it doesn't even matter. His contribution to this is much more important than how he played. But all right, let's talk about how he played.
So I did enjoy Brad Stevens saying, I have no idea how much he's going to play, and then playing him 20 minutes in his first game.
Not only 20 minutes, 11 straight minutes in the second quarter. Like that was great. And I think that the Celtics were kind of this, we kind of went back to a little bit of experimentation because
Brad was going crazy with some of those huge lineups.
Yeah, I mean, the Greg Moose with Morris and Tice That was an interesting lineup there, and that seemed to work for a long time. And those two guys, Tice and Monroe, were playing off of each other fairly well. They run a ton of pick and rolls with Monroe. That's kind of how they're going to have to be. Monroe's passing, you saw a couple little flashes of that. And I think his passing is going to be the biggest thing for the Celtics. Yeah, his rebounding is going to be big and his scoring is going to be big. But the passing that eventually he'll display by forcing the defense to collapse on him and pay attention to him, his passing is going to be maybe the most important skill that he has. Because that second unit, we know, has had trouble scoring. If you can get the ball into Monroe in the post, and we saw them do that, and we saw him start to get his rhythm back, if he can start drawing double teams and other guys start cutting, backdoor cuts, we saw a couple of backdoor cuts, get it into him and immediately cut backdoor, then he'll just drop that little bounce pass, and we'll see that play a lot. We'll see guys cutting behind the post, kind of like they do with Al Horford a little bit, and Monroe finding him there. Like, that's going to be a big, big element. So I like that part of what I saw from Monroe. And he did contest shots. He didn't look like a liability on defense. He got tired. He's not used to playing. And he, like I said, he played 11 straight minutes in the second quarter. Brad just kept him in there and just worked him. And at the end, he clearly was winded. But I like the debut. It's not nothing spectacular. It's not like, oh my God, this is the missing piece. But it was nice. And I definitely think we're seeing a guy that can settle that second unit. And tangentially, we'll talk about the trade deadline. You can kind of see why standing pat was not such a bad thing. And you just kind of roll with Monroe and see where it goes.
Yeah, he had some good moments tonight, and you just saw flashes of the potential. I thought he had a pretty – I just really like the big lineups that Brad was trying with. He had one out there with Tito, Jason Tatum at the two, and then that front court you mentioned with Mook, Tice, and Monroe. I kind of think it also opens up a little bit for ISO Mook, him playing against smaller players and playing the three. His like fadeaway post-up game works. But on the defensive end of the court, I felt like the Celtics were really just trying to take away Wizards' three-point shots tonight. So if you just have a huge team where Jason Tatum, the longest guy on earth, is your shooting guard, it's kind of like going up against some of the Bucks teams where they're just super long and it's hard to get kind of good looks. I thought their defense was just was better than their second unit normally is. And I think just his general – Greg Monroe, Moose's general size was – pretty impactful tonight. We also saw him get some offensive rebounds, which is just not something you normally see Celtics players doing. He got two of them tonight in only 20 minutes. It's just not a player or like that the Celtics haven't really had before, someone that big. And so it was cool to see kind of how Brad used him and experimented with him and just, yeah, fuck it. Let's go with just the, I think Jay called it the Monster Monroe lineup of just like, yeah, throw the huge guys in there and see what happens.
Yep. I'm all for it, and I like your point about the Bucks, because these are potential playoff matchups where the Celtics may be vulnerable to size, but adding him could be a way to combat that. And a guy like Tice, I know you're on the start Tice movement, but I think we might see Monroe become a starter. He started the overtime, which is an interesting little wrinkle, and Baines has.
I don't know what Baines does, man. I don't know what Baines does that Monroe doesn't do.
Well, but see, Baines has been kind of slipping, I think, a little bit lately. He's obviously you need his defense, but I'm just starting to see like his offense isn't what it was earlier in the season, and he's really struggling. And I don't know. I love Baines. Obviously, we love Baines, but I just wonder if. In this kind of regression that Baines has taken, if Monroe is kind of primed to slide into that, and maybe you bring Baines off the bench, but I don't know. But I think either way, they'll find a way to use him correctly. And you put him with Tice. Tice is a mobile guy, and he's got length, and he can clearly jump and block shots. It's an interesting experiment. It's an interesting lineup that you can use against bigger teams. And since the Celtics are susceptible to bigger teams, this could be a big solution. So I like it. I like Monroe so far. One game, I'm in.
Yeah, and it helps that they won. If they lost, fuck Monroe.
I still would have been in. I still would have been in on Greg Moose. I like Greg Moose.
Greg Moose from Greg.
Greg Moose from Greg is Janos. What else do we have here? I found it interesting that Jason Tatum was not on the floor for the out-of-bounds play where Kyrie got fouled on the three, but he was in afterwards to defend when the Wizards had the last possession. I don't want to read into that. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's just that Jalen has kind of tailed off with his shooting. Maybe his finger is an issue, but I don't know. A little interesting there. Different.
Yeah, you would think that they were going around showing all the people in like the Celtics 3-point shooting, and they're showing that lineup. I too was surprised Tatum wasn't on there. He's been pretty much struggling ever since that finger, especially from three. And so I wonder how much of an issue that is. I don't want to say he's hit a rookie wall because Jay King doesn't believe in it. And unity on the podcast after all the fraught week we've had with all the yelling and conflict, but. I think I don't know, it's good to see him still play great defense. I thought he was, especially in that overtime, there was that one real frantic possession before, Jaylen Brown hit that step back three. It was kind of ended up with a play underneath trying to explain what's going on here from my notes.
Gather yourself, breathe.
Gather yourself, breathe, slow it down. Fast break play where Bradley Beal was going to the rim and Jason Tatum had just a really nice defensive play. And I thought he just played great in kind of recovery defense all night. His shooting has definitely regressed and he's no longer the best shooter in the history of time, which is somewhat disappointing because you'd think his finger would be better by now. And like, I don't know a lot about shooting with a dislocated finger, but you kind of are concerned. I don't know. I don't want to say you're concerned, but it's just like, yeah, he's not the like absolutely amazing best shooter in the league that he was. But with that being said, I still think he had some positive impact on the game tonight, even when shooting poorly.
Yeah. Let's dive into these Twitter comments and because we got to get to the, I want to wrap up the game and get to the trade deadline stuff. Because yeah, yesterday's podcast it was like, yeah, it's all going to be quiet, and it was quiet from the Celtics perspective, but not
the Cavs did things.
No, the Cavs did a few things. So let's bust through these Rain and Jay's hashtag questions and get to that. At Threes and Trees, Greg Monroe has reportedly inquired with his travel agent about possible bookings for the Baines boat. Greg Moose is available and he is invited and may possibly, if he's good, supplant Abdel Nader on the boat.
Only Abdel Nader. He's got to earn it. His performance tonight, I don't think was boat worthy, but I like his potential. His boat potential is high.
Yeah. We're answering the travel agent's calls. We'll see. We're going to work out a package. At Tune My Ride, free throw practice this week. Also, is Jalen feeling the all-star snub shade? He's balling out. I never really thought of Jalen Brown as an all-star this year. I love what he's doing. I think he's playing great. He's obviously a really good defender, and he's getting better at that, and his offense is getting better, and he's having a nice season. It's a really nice season, but all-star?
He's not an all-star, but Andre Drummond did like call him out on Instagram, and ever since then he's been playing out of his mind. So,
which is great.
Sure, if that's what he needs to get to be motivated, absolutely. But to the first part of his question, yeah, they got the Celtics. The only reason this game was close is because they missed so many goddamn free throws. 11 missed free throws.
Yep.
And normally I'm not the one to complain about that. I get frustrated when Stool Greeny does it, but it's true. When they add up like this in aggregate. You got to make your free throws. It's basic. They're free. They're free shots.
Yes. Well, I like your use in aggregate. That was very, very nice.
I do data for my job.
to miss 11 free throws and shoot 67.5% from the line is no good. No good. So they are free, and you don't expect everybody to hit all of them. And look, it's one of those things where individually, no one crapped the bed out there. Tice missed 2 free throws. Okay, he should hit one. Tatum was 5 of 7. He missed a couple. Al Horford was 1 of 2. Brown was 1 of 2. Kyrie was 9 of 10. Morris was 4 of 4. Rozier was missed 2 of 4. Monroe was 1 of 3. So no one, like, it's not like somebody went 2 of 10 from the line, but all together, like you said, in aggregate,
ooh,
you want to have a better percentage than 67.5%. So, yeah, making free throws is a key element to holding a lead. So, yeah, they definitely need to do more of that. A bunch of tweets here about Jaylen Brown. So, Cult Commander at Ballin' Opinions. So, Brown gets Tito points for that step back three, right? I'm really appreciating the growth of Brown, athletic and confident. Tito points for the step back three.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He also gets Tito points for the fancy missed layup earlier.
Oh, that would have been really badass. I feel like that happens to me anytime I try to attempt a finger roll in basketball. I always hit the back of the rim and it bounces out.
You're just moving too fast. You got to stay in better control.
That's me.
At Scropeberg, the juice looking like an all-star with the step back. That's just a nice reminder that we got to keep using that juice nickname because I love it and I got to just get better. I have to be a better version of myself and using the juice nickname.
We all have to be better.
Yep. Let's see. Luke, why can't Jam see hands hitting wrists on crucial three-point attempts?
I don't know. I just looked at the replay and said, oh, yeah, that's a bad call. And then everyone just yelled at me, so I figured I was wrong.
Robert Denton, is the NBA and all network announcers contractually obligated to say Otto Porter Jr.? I guess the full name, but instead of just Porter.
Some guys are just kind of like that. Like, it makes sense in my head. It feels right in my head. That's just what he's known as, Otto Porter Jr.
It all works.
I have a friend, Jacob Vance. I just call him Jacob Vance. Like, I've never called him Jacob.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that flows, Otto Porter Jr. It's almost like it's one name.
Exactly. Like Greg.
At Mim Burns 37. I like what I saw of Monroe tonight. Do you think Stevens is going to roll with the huge front line, or is it a Wizards-specific thing? We kind of talked about that already. So it's definitely going to be rolled out again for sure. Nick Dundee, Iso Mook actually seems to be working here in the fourth. Yeah.
He had a good game. Telling you, playing against Kelly Oubre and those smaller guards allows for his like kind of post-up shenanigans and his fadeaways. They work a little bit better.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. You know, he's going to – somebody – I wish I could remember the tweet, but somebody said he's going to win as many games as he loses you. So – there are going to be times when he's frustrating, and he was kind of on his way to frustration, but then that fourth quarter came around, and that was good. That's about it. We got a ton of tweets here, but mostly Scropeberg. Moose is going to endear himself to Celtics fans real quick, going for loose balls like that. Yep, he was out there hustling. That's it.
Shouts to Greg Monroe for getting a tech in his first game.
Yes.
That was absolutely cool. You should show he really wanted it. Lots of techs tonight. Tito got a tech with a dead ball. Well, just to start in between quarters. I don't know how you do that, but Tito figured out a way because he's headstrong.
Why don't we go into the Rain of Junk hashtag?
All right. I got another one from Scropeberg. With Juice and Moose in the same lineup, we need to seriously consider the Fairly Odd Parents theme song between timeouts. Now, I'm assuming you don't have any concept of what the Fairly Odd Parents are.
I think it's a cartoon.
It's cartoon, Nickelodeon, about Timmy Turner. He has two fairy godparents named Cosmo and Wanda. Now, I don't know remember the exact connection to Juice and Moose for that, but yeah, I figured we'd bring that up.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
I whatever you say. I have no clue.
John Wall, this is from Touche Bagouche. John Wall looks like he ordered those glasses from a Boy's Life magazine. Is he going to build a hovercraft out of a lawnmower engine next? Hashtag obscure, hashtag rating junk. He looked like he was trying to be like Nino Brown or like a 70s gangster or like an Isley brother. And I just don't – I don't get the look of wearing glasses like when you don't need them. Cosmetic glasses have never made sense to me because those were giant frames and he just – he doesn't need glasses. His eyesight is fine.
Yeah, I like the look. I am a fan of cosmetic glasses. I think it can work for people.
That's fair. You know what? I everyone has their own opinion.
I also, though, wear glasses, so.
That's fair. You're biased. You're clearly biased. That's the Raining Junk hashtags. I'll quickly go through my notes. The first one being, goddamn, Chris Webber says a whole lot of nonsense.
Oh, God.
He was just bad the entire night. He kept on calling him Coach Stevenson. He did that multiple times. And then he just went on and on about how Al Horford's playing the four finally because Greg Monroe's here, not like realizing that I think the lineup with the most minutes has Baines in it, and Baines has started like the majority of the games. And he just kept on going on and on about it. It just didn't make any sense. And I don't know why tonight was the first night that he really pissed me off, because generally Chris Webber amuses me with his nonsense, but and I'm a pretty pro-nonsense kind of guy, but tonight was irritating as hell.
It was irritating. And I've never really thought, oh my God, Weber's horrible. Get him off my TV. Like he's been like, all right, whatever. It's not a big deal. He had a bad game. He had Bradley Beal's shooting game he had in the broadcast booth. And I know he's gotten a lot of criticism for the work that he does there. Tonight, he earned all of that criticism, man. I hate to say it, but you can't get people's name right. He doesn't see fouls. He doesn't know who's out there. He gets the wrong players' names. He just doesn't. It's I don't know what the hell happened to him. It was horrible, and I was very annoyed.
It was quite bad. Moving on, Tim Frazier. I've always been a big Tim Frazier fan, primarily because I went to a couple Red Claws games while he was with the Red Claws and like talked to him after the game. Because in Red Claws land, you get all the access in the world. Mm-hmm. You walk in and you're like the only media person there. So I got to talk to Tim Frazier. He's a cool guy, but he looks like the frog on the front of Smack cereal boxes. and it's like uncanny. It's fantastic. It makes me laugh every time I see him. I still got a lot of hate in my heart for Kelly Oubre and a lot of love for Kelly Olynyk. There's only one KO in my life. I really don't like Kelly Oubre. Not at all.
I'm with you.
Moving on. Also don't like Gortat. He's kind of a pest on the offensive end. He always sets moving screens. He kind of kicked the Celtics' ass for a little bit of a stretch there. He's just good and kind of pesky and annoying, and I don't like his mohawk.
Yeah. You know, I think Gortat's career is basically almost done.
Yeah, I would assume so. And I think that's for the better. I don't want to wish ill on the man's career, but I'm sick of seeing him play basketball. More technicals. Mook got one from the bench from yelling. I thought that was good breakfast. And let's see here. That's going to about wrap it up for the Rain and Junk on my end.
All right. Let's now turn to this crazy trade deadline. Let's get a few takes on that, because the Cavaliers just completely reshaped their team.
Entire team.
they did what Tom Westerholm tweeted it. They basically did what Danny Ainge did last summer in the course of 2 hours. They gutted their whole team and are starting over. And shout out to Jay King, who said, if any team that didn't have LeBron traded for George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, and Larry Nance in an effort to save their season, I'd laugh at them. But that's what the Cavs did. Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye, and our guys, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, all gone. Wade's back in Miami. Rose is going to... He went to Utah. He's going to get bought out. Shumpert's now in Sacramento. Crowder's in Utah. Frye went to Sacramento, I think. And Isaiah Thomas. No. Fry went to the Lakers with Isaiah Thomas. So, and a number one pick. And the Cavaliers gave up their own first round pick, not the Nets pick. They keep the Nets pick, which they cannot trade now. And they get George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr.
Wild stuff. And when that was pouring in on Twitter this afternoon, it was just like one after the other. The Cavs make a deal. First, shout out to Kevin O'Connor for being, I think he was the second guy in. Woj tweeted, the Lakers and Cavs had a deal. And then Kevin O'Connor tweeted what the deal was. Shout out to him moving out to L.A., making moves. But just a wild series of events. And in terms of just on the court basketball, I think it helps the Cavaliers because they were terrible. They were old. They weren't playing very good defense. Clearly, the chemistry was not working with that team because that team hated each other. So they got younger. They've got some better wing options, I think, in Rodney Hood. And I don't know if Larry Nance is really a wing, but George Hill's a decent player who I don't think he's got enough playing time with Sacramento. Jordan Clarkson is always, I think, is a good like bench scorer. I just think it was in terms of basketball, I think you can't really count the Cavs out like you were saying. I think you're going to see a super motivated LeBron to kind of like bring this team together. I don't know how much it changes their title chances or their chances against the Celtics, but it's because it's just a bunch of role players now around LeBron James, and it's always like been about LeBron James. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that team comes together. But just from a basketball perspective, I think they probably got better because whatever they had before was pretty awful.
Well, Kobe Altman said afterwards that he felt like the team was on a slow death march, which
that's a
quote. That's a goddamn quote and a half. And I guess they were. So do they get better talent-wise? I mean, if they had waited it out and let Isaiah kind of figure himself out, who knows what would have happened. But that everything was toxic. Like, everything inside that locker room was just completely toxic. And I guess there's plenty of blame to go around because nobody in there seemed happy anymore. So they ship out all the dead weight. Like you said, they get more athletic on the wing. So their two biggest problems to me were, A, they're just not fucking trying. They're just not trying. And now, by bringing in guys like Hill and Hood and Clarkson, especially they get perimeter guys, Nance to some degree, they'll try. They'll try. So that helps a lot. They're not going to be the standing around, dying on picks, and not getting back in transition Cavaliers. So that helps them a lot. They were also terrible on defense. Just no matter how hard they tried, they were never going to be good on defense anyway on the perimeter. So these guys help them with that. That gets better. So technically, yeah, they improved by getting rid of some of these guys. How good are they going to be? It's basically now LeBron and Kevin Love. Like, those are your two stars. And there's no, like, when they got to the finals, it was Love, LeBron, and Kyrie. And now they don't have that third star. You know, the trade for Isaiah Thomas was supposed to get them the third star that replaced Kyrie. And eventually they'd have that three-headed monster again to get them to the finals. They don't now. So LeBron kind of counts as 1.5 stars. So they have more than some people, but some teams. But I don't know. Even if everything goes perfectly for them and they get the chemistry, does that really get them to the NBA Finals? Does that make them a clear number one now? I don't think so. You may be able to argue that, okay, yeah, they go back to the favorite, but that's only because of LeBron. And if you find a way to cut LeBron's drives off and turn him into just an isolation scorer again, then you're going to beat the Cavaliers because they don't have anybody else now that's going to consistently beat you and create their own offense like Kyrie used to. And if he can't set up Kevin Love, and if he can't set up all those guys, then I don't give a damn if he averages 45 points a game. You just hold the rest of the guys to less than 60, and you'll have an opportunity to beat the Cavaliers. So I don't know that this does anything to improve their chances of getting to the finals.
No, I would agree, and that's what kind of makes it an odd move from just a team building perspective, because this doesn't guarantee that LeBron is going to come back. Like, there clearly isn't that second star, like you mentioned. I think the offensive burden is going to entirely fall on his shoulders. And so the Cavs just basically, they didn't do a lot to kind of shore up, I think, keeping LeBron in free agency. And then they also gave up their first round pick just to get out of like Isaiah's contract. They gave the Lakers more cap space, and the Lakers are going to be like a team directly competing with them. It shows you kind of how desperate the situation was in Cleveland, like that they're willing to do all of this just for this kind of last ditch attempt. But I still think the fact that, like, one, it's going to be hard for a team to come together and like start playing great basketball. It's going to be a bunch of pressure on LeBron James. And the fact that he still might leave is still like, they didn't do anything to get rid of that cloud. Like, that still hangs over the entire Cavs season and is a huge stress on the entire Cavs season. And anytime they struggle, there's just more talk about LeBron leaving. So despite the craziness of all the moves, there's still more craziness to come in Cleveland, just because they have to bring, what, 12 new guys together, like, who've yeah. never played before. There's going to be a weird building of chemistry. And so I'm glad it happened, though. Wild NBA trade deadline after what they never – the NBA never disappoints.
No, they never do. And the beauty of all of this is the first opportunity we're going to get to see all of it is probably Sunday against the Celtics on Paul Pierce Day. So that's going to be fun. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, anything that happens to the Cavaliers directly impacts the Celtics. The Celtics, meanwhile, stood pat. And Memphis, for some unknown reason to me, kept Tyreke Evans. So the Celtics didn't make a trade. They kept Marcus Smart. They stood pat and are rolling with Greg Monroe. So do you feel okay about that, or were you hoping for more?
No, I was in team Stan Pat the entire time. I didn't think it made sense to shake up your rotation. I don't think they wanted to give up Marcus Smart. I think he's going to come back and have a pretty big impact on this team. There's not enough minutes to go around. And I think Greg Monroe will be a pretty solid impact. So yeah. I definitely wasn't about giving up a first round for Tyreke Evans. Me and Jay were talking about this the other night in the pod. Tyreke Evans doesn't like really play defense. He never really moved the needle for me. No. Now, I'm a big Isolation Joseph fan. Jay King talked me into that last night. And if he gets bought out of Sacramento after he was traded, I can see that, just because I'm all for adding a savvy vet. But I don't – the buyout market's much more appealing to me, because you just don't have to give up anything. You have to waive a guy like maybe Abdel Nader, but that's not a huge loss. There's no reason to give up picks, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not. And I guess if they feel like – there's just no room for Abdel Nader, and they're going to give him an opportunity to go and hook on with another team, then, and maybe get more minutes. Maybe they waive Nader, they get Joe Johnson, and Nader goes to like a Phoenix as a young player on a cheap deal that they can maybe give more minutes to see how he does. Then good luck to him. And maybe that's more of what he needs. And for the Celtics, it sounds like on the surface, like that's cruel. Like, oh God, you got to cut Nader. Like, that's horrible. But for the Celtics to add a guy that might help their bench scoring, that they'll actually play, that's good for them. But B, it actually is goodwill towards the player, Abdel Nader, to give him that opportunity. He's at the end of the bench, and he's just not going to get those minutes. So to make a guy an unrestricted free agent, that shows the rest of the league that the Celtics are willing to do something. Like, they're willing to like give the guy, like, you know what? We're going to go a different direction. We'll let you go do what you got to do. Get your chance to go get your minutes. Because Nader is one of those fringe NBA guys that maybe in the right situation can find himself a niche. Maybe he could become like an Etuan Moore, who was you know, the Celtics never found a use for him, but all of a sudden he's carved out a nice career. So it's seen favorably by agents that want to do business with the Celtics, that the Celtics would say, all right, go do your thing, find yourself an opportunity. We're not going to hold you down by, you know, keeping you and not giving you any minutes and not giving you any burn. Give yourself an opportunity to go earn that money and get a contract somewhere.
Yeah, it makes sense for like Nader to play on a team like the Bulls or a team that's rebuilding. Yeah. If he can get more consistent minutes, because really when this the Celtics are completely healthy, you would imagine Nader's not getting in the game at all. A bunch of DNPs. So it's not the end of the world if they're going to consider someone to on the buyout market. So I'm completely fine with them standing pat, and it's kind of what I expected them to do and what I wanted them to do at this deadline.
I agree. So let's see what happens with the buyouts. Those are going to start happening soon, and what the Celtics end up doing. I didn't see what the final Greg Monroe contract number was. That's going to be interesting, because that impacts what they might be able to give him next year. They might just end up giving him the mid-level or part of the mid-level, or they don't keep him, but we'll see. That's another conversation for another time. All right. That's a podcast to me. I like it. I think we're done here. The Celtics beat the Wizards 110-104. They remain in first place, because if they had lost, they were at risk of falling percentage points behind the Raptors. So at 40-16, the Celtics are one of three teams in the NBA, along with Golden State and the Rockets, to have 40 wins right now. So that's
20 to go.
A hell of a season so far for the Celtics. They win. They get to 40 wins. Now they've got Indiana on a back-to-back, and then it's Paul Pierce retirement weekend. That is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot to talk about when we come back on Monday. So subscribe to the show if you're not a subscriber, because you're going to want to hear that show on Monday. You know where to find us, everywhere you get your podcast. If you've ever subscribed to any other podcast, search for Locked On Celtics there. You'll find us. If you are a subscriber, you haven't rated us 5 stars, we implore you to do so, because it helps us. It helps us rise in the rankings. It is, in a way, a form of payment to us by spreading the word, sharing, and letting people know through a good review that they should be listening to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.